Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
First half, we got Mark Geragos calling in because he's has some very interesting takes on what's going on with Keith Ellison and Minnesota and the cops and what they should be going for and the potential downside of going for the brass ring and not getting it and what that could mean. So he brings some – it's a last-minute audible. I called him up to see if he could call in. So we got that. We got your phone calls, and we got a young high schooler as well because he put my saying in his yearbook. So good stuff. I'll tell you about that in a second. First, Scott's Turf Builder. Thicker lawn, everybody. That's what you want. You want an answer to your embarrassing, thin, sparse, loser lawn? That's right. You're the laughing stock of the neighborhood. Well, no more. Scott's Turf Builder. Thicker lawn. Turn your lawn into a thick green paradise. 3-in-1 solution. Seeds to fill the gaps. Soil improver. Root development. Fertilizer. Feeds new grass. It's makes the stuff that's there thicker as well. Up to 50% thicker lawn in just one application. Finally, thick green lawn you've always dreamt of, and they have a no-quibble money-back guarantee. So you got a little extra time. Summer's coming around. You want that beautiful lawn. Let's go with Scott's. If you're not fully satisfied, you get your money back. That is their guarantee. Get thicker, quicker. This is a Scott's Yard.
Podcast One presents. This is a collect call from Sing Sing.
My name is John J. Lennon. I'm locked up for selling drugs and committing murder. I'm also a contributor for Esquire magazine and the Marshall Project. So I'm a writer and I'm a prisoner. Imagine trying to stay focused and talk about issues of substance with gates slamming, prisoners screaming, and PAs blaring in the background.
Get new episodes every Wednesday on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Spike Lee's Da Five Bloods, Delroy Lindo. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, tomorrow he'll commemorate the anniversary of the D-Day invasion by storming the beach of occupied California. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Hi, guy.
So, Delroy Lindo, man. Excited to speak to him. You guys, Brian, you know more about Delroy probably than I do. So
Probably should have, yeah. How much of the conversation between you and Delroy is going to be gone in 60 seconds talk?
No, I'm going to limit it to 80%.
He's not a madman.
We'll get to his lesser known, sort of what I call sort of ancillary movies when we're done doing a Gone in 60 Second Talk. What was it like to be with Nick Cage? Did you ever get to go in his trailer? Is he as dreamy in person as he is on the screen? All the Nick Cage questions. And then if their time permits, we can talk about the new movie. So, you know, it is, I don't know. Here's an interesting thought for you, Bald, because of your movie prowess. In a way, a bad schlocky movie like Gone in 60 Seconds, totally fun, but totally schlocky. You know, Delroy Lindo turns in a really strong performance in that movie. And you go, maybe being a really good actor on a soap opera, in a way, is a taller order than being a really good actor in a Tarantino movie, like where you're given all this great material, you know? I mean...
Well, look at the inverse. Like, fucking Cuba Gooding Jr. won an Oscar for Jerry Maguire. Like, Cameron Crowe is a master writer and director, at least was. Like, he's a beautiful writer, and he can turn the Kate Hudsons of the world into a great performance. Right. You know, look at the fucking Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights. Like, Mark Wahlberg is, can we all agree, a marginal actor. He can be good, he can be bad. He's somewhere
Brian,
in the middle.
That's very insulting.
But in Boogie Nights, like, he's in the hands of a master filmmaker and a master writer, and he turns in a great performance.
When you said Cuba Gooding Jr., I thought you were going to talk about Radio.
There you go.
And, yeah, of course, John Travolta with Tarantino after coming off Look Who's Talking 1 through 17. All right. I wanted to get Mark Gergos on because I wanted to ask Mark, because I don't think anyone is better qualified than this, and to answer the question of the cops in Minnesota. They're going for it. Like, they want murder, murder too, and they're raising the stakes. But the problem is if you can't meet that, then these guys are going to get off. You could be kicking your own ass by getting lofty with what you're going for in terms of prosecution, and it could be dangerous, and it may backfire. I don't know. I want to ask Mark Gergos, but I was thinking about that today. Mark, you have thoughts?
You absolutely stole my thunder. Yes, that's exactly what happened. And the reason they raised it was because in order to... Hi, by the way, hi, Adam. How are you?
Hi, guy.
That's not a draw.
Hi, bald.
Hi, what's happening, buddy?
Hey. So anyway, they, you know, what they did was the only way, not the only way, but the way to get the enhanced charge, which goes from third degree to second degree, is or the reason they did that was because they needed some kind of an element that they could then fashion an aiding and abetting charge on the other three. The problem with that is this is what we call felony murder. The problem with that is the progressive social justice, criminal justice reforms people like myself have been arguing against the expansion of felony murder to the point where, as of January 1st of 2020, California enacted a law that said if you've ever been convicted of this felony murder doctrine, you can now go back to the court and have them reverse the conviction or relook at it because we don't want to expand criminal liability. So precisely what you're talking about is they're hoisting themselves. They're headed in a direction of exactly where they don't want to be. And this isn't the only one or only example. In the other horrific case that started kind of this latest outbreak, the Aubrey case, they did the same thing with the gentleman who was taking the video. They expanded the liability to the gentleman under a felony murder rule. Well, mind you, Alabama just executed a gentleman for on this very same theory, and the argument against his execution was you've expanded felony murder to the point where we're either killing people or convicting people of murder when they didn't pull the trigger or they didn't do the act. And that is a very dangerous road to go down, because remember, you're always going to be in the hands of a prosecutor. What's good today for a prosecutor is going to be used against you the next day when there isn't the spotlight on.
So let me bring up Trayvon Martin and the Zimmerman case. And I'm not sure how accurate this is, but you tell me. If you're going for murder charges against Zimmerman, he's going to walk. If you go for manslaughter charges against him, he could do some time. So if the
I said that all along. I thought that the prosecution during Trayvon Martin, I thought they were phoning it in. I mean, I was famously excoriated during that because I said it looked to me like the prosecution was rolling over during that case. I didn't understand why they filed what they filed, and I didn't understand their presentation of evidence, and I'll never understand their jury selection. But this case has, and Keith Ellison knows better. He's a very skilled and very intelligent man. Interestingly, somebody mentioned he lost the race for the head of the DNC, and then he ended up getting the attorney general job in Minnesota. But this is, be careful what you wish for. Those of us in criminal defense who do this day in, day out, we've been fighting against the expansion of this felony murder. And I'm the first guy to say that, you know, I understand why people are rioting. I understand why people are getting back because, you know, personally, if you hang out in the criminal justice system for any amount of time, you realize that the system is irretrievably broken.
So then is it correct what you were saying, which is they're going for a more aggressive charge against Derek Chauvin so that they can get the officers underneath him, so they everyone kind of moves up the ladder a little bit?
Correct, because one of the theory is in Minnesota, they have a common law doctrine, and they've got a specific felony murder that has the divides up murder into 3 degrees. The third degree does not necessarily have a intent element. It's almost the depraved indifference. It's you were so freaking negligent. I mean, it's very muddy, but basically you were so indifferent that we're gonna give you that state of mind. The problem with that is you have a tough time aiding and abetting somebody who's got a depraved mind. If you have an intent element, then yes, you can aid and abet somebody who intended to do something, and that's how you get the other officers.
That's a very interesting point. Yeah, good luck proving the other three guys were helping a guy who was a sort of, if we're charging him with essentially asleep at the wheel versus you know, ramming another car intentionally, then how can you blame the other people in the car? I guess would be my analogy.
Right. There's somebody had given something yesterday, an example, and I wish I had remembered it, but Chris just called me up. But there was a pretty good example of two cases recently in Minnesota that kind of hit exactly on this. The irony, as I mentioned before, though, is here in California, you actually have a law that prohibits what they are doing because that was the progressive movement and the kind of the step that was happening in the criminal law was to restrict liability for felony murder as opposed to expand it.
So if you were Attorney General Keith Ellison, what would you do? How would you approach this?
I think Keith Ellison, you know, there are other ways that you could have fashioned liability. And I think that part of the problem is it's interesting and I suppose ironic that there were also four officers in another time when L.A. burned, and that was the Rodney King case. And we all remember what happened both in the state court and in the federal court. Remember, in the state court in Rodney King, all four officers were acquitted. Then the feds stepped in, the feds re-prosecuted. And I say re-prosecuted because double jeopardy does not work in that order. It would work, or it used to work, in reverse order. But two of the officers were acquitted again in federal court. And one of the reasons is you can't expand criminal liability to the point where you don't understand it. Now, everybody who was complaining with, at the same time, see if they can keep both thoughts in head. Everybody who's complaining, why aren't those other officers arrested at the same time? I agree with them absolutely. I've told you, Adam, I've defended cases here in Los Angeles repeatedly where somebody was standing outside of a club in Hollywood. I can't tell you how many times I've had this case. Somebody gets into a fight, one punch, a guy hits his head on the sidewalk, dies. They charge manslaughter on the one who throws the punch, and somebody who either restrained the person who got hit or stood by and didn't do anything gets charged as well. And they wouldn't do a dispassionate investigation over the course of 4 or 5 days. They'd arrest everybody first, ask questions later. And that's, I think, what the discontent was. People know intuitively, why do the cops get the benefit of the doubt when it's an arrest? Why do they get the benefit of the doubt here, there, or everywhere else? But I think that the legal theory, as you were mentioning, as I was listening to you as I came on, the legal theory is a problem. And while it may quell the kind of the outrage right now, it may be setting up failure later on when you try to get a jury to convict.
That's what I was just thinking. My God, if they can't convict him, we already thought they went scorched earth last weekend. The major cities in this country will literally burn to the ground if nobody gets convicted over this.
Well, there's another, let me give you another thing that I've been, a boring cop and I've been fighting over. We
Ben.
Have a case,
right.
Ben, yeah, Ben has been fighting over. We've got a case potentially that could ignite the world. And you know, I'm betwixt and between as to what to do with that. We've been fighting amongst ourselves. I'll get to that maybe later or tomorrow, because we may have some solution by then. But
hold on a second. Are we talking about the decision of whether to release the information or the video or the whatever to once that goes public, goes viral, and then there's lap two of outrage and cop car burnings, like there would be, it's that egregious.
Correct.
As egregious as Minnesota.
Correct.
It does.
And it fits, and it fits right into what's happening in the country right now. That's why we're struggling with it.
Does it involve videotape?
Uh-huh.
How is it that it involves videotape and you have the videotape, but no one else has the videotape?
You ask such pertinent questions, and I won't go there. I won't answer. I can never deflect with you. I always have to zone right in, which is just that's why I love you. What can I say?
Just to be clear, if that thing went out, it would be round two and maybe even a longer round of what we've just experienced or what we're kind of coasting to a stop on. We would be supercharged again. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Now, you know, it's interesting. I think if, you know, you and I have talked almost ad nauseum about the Daniel Schaefer case and what happened once that video was released. I think that if that had been released, and I saw where some guys were interacting with Gary earlier today, if that had been released now, I think that would have been unbelievable. I mean, I think about that poor widow and those poor kids and how the Mesa Police Department has shortchanged them. And talk about hypocrisy. You should go online and take a look. Mesa Police Department, of all police departments in the country, talking about the solidarity with the protesters over Minnesota and George Floyd, when they're the ones who not only executed Daniel Schaefer in cold blood, but then after the officer was acquitted, they rehired him, then gave him a disability pension and let him retire the next day. What happens with
they may be happens, they may be worse than Drew Brees. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. That could be more dangerous. I don't know.
Well, everybody's talking about Drew. I'm the one who's out of my head about Joe Lockhart and Roger Goodell trying to, you know, putting out the false narrative that they put out this week. I mean, the talk about, and I'm sitting under a protective order, which I'm also talking about just violating because they violated the protective order in lying to the public. Joe Lockhart penning that article about how the NFL really and Goodell really wanted to do something for Kaepernick, which is absolute nonsense. And Lockhart did everything possible to deep six the information. And for him to come out now and saying, oh, yeah, we made a mistake, but we were trying to do the right thing 3 years ago. Adam, you know better. You were there in real time with me when we were discussing it and how frustrated I was at the time that I was under a protective.
So let's just finish off with Minnesota and Ellison and that kind of stuff. If this trial ends and these guys go free, as Gina said, it's time to fire up the furnace, right, for the country.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I have talked with a number, you know, this criminal defense community is a rather small and vocal community. I've talked with, I can't tell you how many criminal defense lawyers who say they express the exact same thing I've been saying, is that be careful what you wish for. Okay, it may placate people now, but this is a very dangerous theory. It's a very dangerous theory to lead people to believe that you're going to hook them on this particular theory, given the fact that it's been used in the exact same situation to put a young African-American to death within the last 75 days. So, you know, be careful about what you wish for in these cases.
I assume the answer is no, Mark, but is it possible to charge them with second and third degree murder?
You know, there are other theories, and this is where the feds could have stepped in. I can see where the feds could have charged a violation of civil rights and done some kind of conspiracy or RICO. And they would have been, I think that would have been a much stronger case. And in federal court would have actually been, you know, federal court in criminal cases is as close to a slam dunk as you can ever get. It's a 99.something% conviction rate. And they've got laws that are so expansive that they can do it. I think federal court is a completely different animal, and the feds were looking at this, and they've already designated that police department for investigation. So I don't know why they, if they were going to take their time and deliberate, why the action wasn't brought federally in the place.
Well, I think we can all agree. I guess I'll make an analogy. Let's see. I think we can agree that we would like Keith Ellison and his lieutenants to choke up on the bat a little, make good contact, and get a good stand-up double. But swinging for the fences could result in a strikeout, and a strikeout could mean the whole fucking stadium was going to be burned down.
It's a tie game with the runner on third. All you got to do is put the ball in play.
Just put it in play.
I will say I don't want to look. It doesn't take a whole lot of prognostication. I said it in real time, repeatedly on TV as it was happening, that what the prosecution was doing was absolutely abysmal during Trayvon Martin. I said at the time, I said, in fact, at one point, Mark O'Mara, who's a friend of mine, got very mad after jury selection, which was incomprehensible to me. I said, the only way Zimmerman loses this case is if O'Mara trips, hits his head, and has retrograde amnesia. So, I mean, this thing is setting up very similarly. I mean, I don't want to, you know, go out until I see how it unfolds. But the theory that is being used right now is not a theory that has that is built on a strong foundation.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your insights.
Thanks.
Give me
bye, Gina. Bye, Bald.
Hold
bye,
on. If you and Bad Cop decide to drop a video, text me. Give me about a 3-minute heads up so I can start putting plywood in front of my sliding glass windows. Could you please?
He's already so mad at me. He's excoriated me so many times in the last 5 hours. I can't even tell you.
Well,
he's almost keeping it from me. It's like it's unbelievable.
Well, that's why he's the Bad Cop. Thanks. Right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, just so people know. I don't know. At some point, I asked him if they could play Good Cop, Bad Cop with something. But Ben, I think his last name is Mysalis.
That's right.
How he says it. But his partner's low-key. So I just asked Mark if you guys ever play Good Cop, Boring Cop. And Mark got a good laugh out of that. And from that day forth, his partner, Ben, has been known as Boring Cop.
Poor guy.
I know. There's worse. You could do worse. Yeah. All right.
Boy, I hope Mark's wrong. Oh, my God. That's going to be devastating for the country.
Well, it's interesting because there's kind of two sides of it. A, it can be devastating for the country, but then also what Mark was referring to is if you do get the conviction, then that now is going to apply to young black men who are getting screwed in the court system as well. Like, kind of be careful what you're going for, because it's a two-way street.
Right.
Xander Whitby is a young man, a young genius, born and raised in Jerome, Idaho. Destined for greatness, by the way, played on the varsity basketball team. I just went through all this with my kids and their online graduation. His yearbook picture has a quote, and all the kids are asked to do quotes, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
your
quote.
Yeah, or a graduation quote. So yeah. We're all sitting around the dinner table like 2 weeks ago, and everyone's like, what quote are you going to do? And Sonny's like, make America great again. And everyone just started, Natalia starts screaming at him. Are you kidding? You'll never get laid. You'll never be, you'll know, everyone's going to hate you. And Sonny's doing it to get a rise out of Natalia. And probably his mom. And he's like, I'm doing America, make America great again. And everyone's going, no, Sonny, no. You can't do that. You can't. He's like, what? Just saying, make America great again. Well, what's wrong with that? So he ended up.
Do we not all agree with this?
Yeah.
Everybody knows his quote is, it's just a waste of my time.
He went with the Frank Sinatra lyric or something,
what?
You know. Well, he was basically.
You know, he loves old blue eyes.
He was at age 13, regrets he's had a few. But then again, too few to mention.
Yeah, one time when he blew out a tire on his big wheel back when he was 9. And anyone who's loved and lost with a Cabbage Patch doll knows.
I get no kick from cocaine.
Yeah. All right. So is Xander up sorry, so Xander put on his yearbook, anyway, his line was, don't do your best, do my best, Adam Carolla, which I was profoundly flattered by. Xander, good to speak to you.
Good to speak to you, Adam. How's it going?
It's going well. When I saw it, I didn't think for a second you came up with that. It feels like your dad told you to do it, but you tell me.
So my dad is a big fan of the show, and we were talking one day, and he was kind of making fun of me for something I can't remember, but he's like, don't do your best, do my best. And I'm like, that's probably an Adam Carolla quote, isn't it? And he's like, yes, it is. And so we were just kind of talking about it, and it was about time to put in the quotes, and we just kind of looked at each other and we're like, this should be the quote. And that's how we came up with it.
You know, it's weird how I'm wired, but I've been on the New York Times bestseller list 3 times, and it's nice, but it doesn't mean quite as much as like you using my quote in your senior yearbook. And I'm not sure if everyone is wired that way, but I get a much greater thrill out of seeing what you've written there than many other accolades. So thanks for making my day. What's your dad do?
So my dad used to work in advertising. So,
oh yeah. Typical Idaho boy.
Yeah.
Madman.
One of the big glamorous Idaho firms.
Totally.
And you're heading off to college?
Right now I'm working, and then I plan to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So
where are you working?
I work for a tarping company. So I go around to the dairies in Idaho and kind of just fix tarps. And
Adam, do you want to put the adoption papers through now, or do you want to hold off till he gets back from his mission?
We can negotiate a trade.
Yeah. You know, I've been looking for a world-class tarper for a while. I know I've been really? Putting it out there. No one's really answered the call. I have a lot of tarping needs, you know, as a man in my position would have. So maybe we could get you out of here. That's funny because, you know, when you went, I live in Jerome, Idaho, and then they said, your dad was into advertising. I was like, what? But when I heard your job of tarping, I thought, yeah, that's the Idaho I'm picturing in my head.
Xander, yeah. Do you have any input whatsoever into where you go for your mission, or do you literally just get luck of the draw sent somewhere?
And so like our church, so I have a process where I put my papers in, I have to go through medical stuff. And so sure. I'm in the process of that right now. But when it comes time for it, then I will get an email saying where I'm going, and it's more where the church leaders decide for me to go. So like my friends have, so I have a couple of friends that are going to Italy, Colombia, and South America. One just went to Sacramento on Wednesday. So it kind of is at the luck of the draw.
When you're in Sacramento.
it's crazy, right? And then some people end up in the scariest part of Africa. I'll tell you what I would do. I don't know when you hand in your paperwork, if they have that space on bottom for notes, you know, like personal notes, I would just write in allergic to chloroquine and any medication that can stop malaria. And I just turn in like, by the by.
Yeah. Just FYI.
Yeah.
I don't do well in mosquito netting.
Full disclosure.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell them you heard Joy Behar talking about it on The View. And
you can only eat Mediterranean cuisine.
Yeah. So you have no idea where you're going?
Not yet. Not at this moment.
And what are your thoughts on it? Because you could go to Italy or you could go to Zimbabwe. And yeah. either you'd rather go to Italy, but big picture, how long is your tour? How much time do you do? 2 years?
So it's 2 years, yeah.
2 years. Because the 2 years will go by fast, and then for the rest of your life, when people ask, you know, hey, where did you do your missionary work? And you go, Italy, they're going to go, you know what I mean? Like you want a little street cred, right? So maybe you should be hoping for some, you know, place a little war-torn.
Along those lines, sure. Like, if you have the choice, Adam, not the choice, but like, if it came down to like Sacramento, or just say someplace banal, someplace, you know, mundane, you know, the middle, someplace is like, all right, Fresno, like, or that, or the aforementioned Zimbabwe, I'd kind of rather go to Zimbabwe and, you know, like, expand my horizons, have a 2-year adventure.
I know firsthand the pain of this lack of street cred, because famously you're talking to a guy who was involved with the Big Brother program, and I got a red haired kid with blue eyes.
Yeah.
And so every time people go, oh man, reaching out to the inner city and the underserved community, and then they'd see this guy and they'd go, oh, great.
Timmy O'Malley over there.
Yeah. I got no street cred out of it, you know? Still, you know, the Taco Bell burrito cost the same for the red-haired kid as they did for the brother, and I was still paying, but I got none of the street cred out of it. So don't end up like I did, Xander. No, wait, yeah. Wait a minute, how's that saying go?
Oh, God.
Don't do your best, do my best.
Right. So,
wow, way to bring it home.
Here's an interesting point. I've predetermined it's interesting. Maybe it's not, but, you know, I grew up in L.A. and, you know, all the other people had dreams of moving to Hollywood or moving to New York one day or getting out of their little town of whatever. And everyone I talk to now in L.A. is waxing poetic about Montana and Idaho and getting the hell out of L.A. Is there those thoughts anymore? Like, are you looking at L.A.? Are you looking at San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and going, hey, suckers, have fun over there sweeping up the broken glass. I'll stay here in Idaho.
Yeah, with all the stuff that's going on right now, I mean, of course, staying in Idaho would be kind of nice. But as far as expanding my horizons, I think it'd be nice to kind of get out of little Drome, Idaho, and go somewhere where I can figure out life and do what I need to do.
And you don't go alone, right?
No. So I'll have a mission companion when I'm
And there are people you'll meet up with wherever you go, or it's just the two. Okay.
And yeah. How is Drome, Idaho? I'm guessing it's a small town. I'm guessing. Yeah. I haven't heard of it. So, so during the whole, between the whole COVID-19 thing and riots and all that stuff and protests, Have you guys been affected at all? Have you seen marches? Have you been quarantined? Is there anything going on?
There hasn't been much of that around here. Of course, there's people that try to advocate it, but there's not much going around.
And what about before that with the quarantine? Were people sheltering in place? Were restaurants closed?
Yeah, for the most part. I know there's a lot of people that were scared at first and try to make sure they did everything they can to stay safe, but it was about a month where we were quarantined, and we're just kind of doing our part there just to make sure we're keeping our family safe.
Have you noticed the difference? Last question for you, Xander. I've been wondering out loud about this, I think on this show, but certainly everywhere. I'm kind of obsessed with my daughter. And she's having another pool party today. And, you know, there's four of her friends showing up at the door. And I keep saying to my son, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going out on a bike ride. I'm like, where are your friends? I don't think they're allowed to whatever. What is this weird standard, at least in my neighborhood, where all the girls are having a good time and hanging out in the swimming pool, and the boys haven't seen their friends in 3 months? I don't know if that's going on in Drome, Idaho. I don't know if you have a sister. I don't know if you have any experience with this or thoughts, but give it a shot.
So it really just depends on the family and what they want to do. It's up to the parents. But I mean, I have two little brothers, and it was kind of like a process of, okay, I mean, you can see your friend here, maybe not like see at like our house or their house, but like go to the park, go for a bike ride, stuff like that. But it's just kind of been just baby steps as far as the whole quarantine.
And you don't have any sisters or girls who you can kind of measure it against.
I don't.
I'm starting to wonder if the mom's baby.
Ask the Mormon guy about girls.
Yeah. Baby the boys more than the girls. I don't know what's going on, but the girls have free reign and the boys do not show up. And something is up because many of these girls have brothers who could easily accompany them, or the guys could hang out too. There's a theory I'm going to try to work out at some point, probably not into a microphone. Xander Whitby, thank you very much for writing my words in your yearbook, and thank your dad for listening as well.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Good luck with everything. It's going to be very exciting.
Thank you, Gina.
Check in from us wherever godforsaken land they send us.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll totally tweet you guys where I'm going. So
great.
And like the bumper sticker says, let's get to tarpon. If there's not a bumper sticker tarpon that says that, it should. Yeah. I don't know if you're, hey, I don't know what company do you work for?
It's called Western Ag.
Western Ag. We got your ass covered.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You
go.
Huh? We got your grass good covered.
You can have that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, grass. You can go grass. Right. Right. Okay. Thanks, Xander.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. We're going to do a little live What Can Adam or Unprepared. Adam Carolla's Unprepared. We'll do it here live. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back and we'll hear your calls. Throw out a word. I'll do it live. We'll do it right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. So I was wondering today, amidst all this rioting that's going on, where is Auntie Maxine? She's supposed to be the voice of her constituency in the Black community, reclaiming her time. And I checked her Twitter account, and her last post was 2 days ago, and all about COVID. Not a single mention about the riots and what's going on. What happened? I thought she was such a champion for the people.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, she had some initial stuff. The usual stuff, Maxine Waters, but I haven't heard anything in a long time out of her. Well,
it's funny to that point. I literally just put her name in, nothing else. And the first thing that comes up is an interview from The Cut, and it's just titled "Don't Call It Rioting."
Oh yeah. Well, that's on
the first
point.
Thing that comes up.
All right. I did have a thought about this. I was talking to Mike August about it. The looters. Now, look, I don't like to defend looters. We'll do the unprepared in a second. We're first going to take some phone calls here. Matt, 42, from Phoenix. I want to say this. The people that are peacefully protesting and sitting in, I support. But as far as social distancing, the looters are doing a better job. They're further apart. They're moving faster.
Their faces are more covered.
They go into the Target and they spread out. Yep. These people are all
fan out.
These people are all coming together and listening to John Lennon songs. And again, I'm not saying the looters are better people. I'm saying they're better at social distancing. And not that I support looting. I don't want to live in a world where my kids are looters, but in this particular area, they're doing a better job. Matt.
Hey, Ace Man.
Paul. What's going on, man?
Hey.
I was just listening to yesterday's show, and Paul Bryan, I wanted to say appreciate the update, and we're all pulling for you, buddy.
Hey, man, thanks. Can I add something real quick, Adam? Because the outpouring has been awesome. People are very supportive, sending tweets and Instagram posts. And stuff. One thing I didn't mention, which is important, because I think people are a little freaked out, and understandably so. This is not like 11 years ago when I was, you know, I had an aggressively growing tumor and I was going through radiation, which really messed me up. I will not be going through radiation this time. God willing, I won't have anywhere near the physical, you know, side effects that I had last time. So please assuage your fears a little bit. Thank you very much for the support. I appreciate it, but don't freak yourself out.
Thanks, Brian.
Right on. Awesome. Good news. One other thought that occurred to me, you mentioned Sonny a little bit earlier. We haven't had much from James Woods for him to read tweets. What if he read some Donald Trump tweets? I think that I'd get a pretty good kick out of that.
All right. I'll when he's done getting his haircut today, he told me to get his fucking haircut today because he won't cut his hair. He has zero.
Anyhow, my main purpose of calling is I saw Balt's tweet. It was either Sunday or Monday. Tune in tomorrow for a special episode of the Adam Carolla Show. And I immediately went to a bad place thinking that Adam was going to say something or take some stance that Balt or Gina would just say, fuck it, I'm out of here. Excuse me if this is a clean show. F it. And that's not been the case, and I think some of us think you lean a little bit right sometimes, Adam, but throughout this whole episode, you've been right down the middle and shooting it straight, and I just want to say I appreciate that.
That was the Sunday night episode we recorded when we discussed almost exclusively, you know, the riots and protests and stuff.
Well, I don't have – first off, I don't even, I lean right de facto because everyone else is lurching so far to the left, which is making me look more right. My thoughts have been pretty consistent for 25 years. I'm kind of a numbers guy, and if you want to solve a problem, I want to hear the problem, I want to crunch the numbers, and I want to go at the problem. That seems, we're not really living in that world anymore, but that's kind of how I roll. I don't know if there's any room for that anymore.
Absolutely there is.
All right.
I'm an engineer by trade, and numbers are kind of what drives my life and how I run my professional life as well. So,
well, I'm good. Well, you know, my feeling is always it has to pencil out and what you're talking about. The numbers, the stats, I'm very much into math. And I'm very much into logic, and I'm not that much into feelings. And we've been entering, this would be, you know, it's kind of interesting. I've always talked about eras, you know, and the 80s was all about turbo, and the 90s was all about stealth, you know, and the
50, extreme.
Extreme X's, you know, and the 2000 was extreme, and the 50s and the 60s, it was space and rocketry, everything was rocket ship and everything. And I've always talked about, like, what era are we in? 2020 is the era of feelings. It's like everyone going, my truth, the way I feel, and politicians, celebrities, spokespeople, like companies, you know, here's how we feel about this. And my thing is, feelings are good for your family and they're good for your neighborhood and friends and things like that, but it's not good policy. I don't want the feelings woven into the policy. I want the how are we going to save lives? What is going to be effective? How do we approach this? There can be differences of opinions in that, but your feelings should sort of, I've been screaming about though for 5 years, like when, you know, Garcetti goes, you know, we're better together. Like, I'm like, I want to talk about curfews. I want to talk about charter schools. I want to talk about, you know, police unions, teachers unions. Like, I want to talk about anything. I don't want anything about feelings.
He's talking about the police department.
I know.
Heavily funded police department.
I'm starting to wonder. I started to think about it today. I had this other thought, one of my many thoughts where people think I'm a dick, where I was like, oh, wait a minute, we're on summer break. Ooh, those teachers, finally, a load off. They can go home and relax and get paid. So then I had that thought. But I thought, I wonder if police unions and teachers unions are serving their constituency. I don't like, in general, I'm not a big unions guy. The teachers unions are, I would say, if you took the total of good versus bad, it's now into bad. They're doing bad for their kids. They're not helping their kids as much as they are hurting them. I mean,
they're good for the teachers, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're good for the
them, but yeah, for the kids, that's very debatable.
I would like charter schools with no unions. The unions don't want the charter schools. But the point is maybe we should take a look at police unions and teachers unions at the same time and see if maybe they're doing more harm than good at this particular point. Hey, Matt?
Well, the teachers are out there buying their own school supplies and books, but the cops seem to have smoke bombs and tear gas for days, just ready to go. So that's one indication from my perspective. You talk about numbers.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too.
Hey, if we're looking for somebody to read the Trump tweets, I don't know if you noticed, probably not, but my fiance read one of Trump's last speeches as Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars, and it was retweeted almost 3,000 times. And then he just did Don Trump Mulaney. He read him as John Mulaney. He's doing a bunch of them.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, we'll give it a...
Yeah, it's very funny.
We'll give it a try. Let's talk to Brett, 32, from San Diego. Brett?
Ace Man, Gina Bald, how you guys doing?
Good, how you doing?
Hey. You're good, man. Hey, well, I just wanted your take on this, Adam. So I just started training jiu-jitsu, and I know it's kind of weird with the pandemic, but it was a gym I was going to, and then a group of guys, you know, kind of got together after hours, hush-hush type thing. I won't give the name of the gym away. But so
The first rule is you don't talk about it.
Yeah, first rule. Sorry.
Yeah, right? First rule. I'm a white belt, which is the most basic level rank that you can go in. And I'm 32, work construction, pretty good shape, if you will, humbly speaking. And I'm getting my ass kicked, man. And it's something I'm wanting to do. I'm really serious about. And I'm a longtime listener. And I kind of took your approach, Adam, when I got into this jiu-jitsu. I know you did this way back from the Dancing with the Stars thing, and then, kind of how you were doing your stand-up comedy, that you told yourself you were just going to keep going, and that's what I'm trying to do. So I was calling to get your advice to see if you were in my position, what you would do. I'm showing up every day just getting slaughtered, man, And it's becoming harder and harder every day for me to want to go and progress, because I'm starting to get
all right. Well, let me
motivated.
Let me intervene, Brett. First off,
okay,
just quit and start slamming heroin. All right. And we got to move on. Sarah's from West LA, 31, wants to talk about the riots. Wait, did he just hang up? No. Okay.
No, I'm here.
Hey, the screen moved and it was a weird timing thing. So first off, I am starting an organization called White Belts Matter. Okay. So I'm going to need you to show up at the meeting and bring your own spray paint, because we're going to paint the town. well, look, you're 32. Who's to say you couldn't be great at this by the time you're 37, and that's still young? You know, just go in there and put the time in. Is there anything anyone regrets? Does anyone regret anything they put some time into, even if they didn't excel at it? Does anyone regret taking guitar lessons when they were 11, or ballet when they were 9, or whatever, going out for the swim team when they were in junior high, even if they were slow?
I think, barring relationships, nobody regrets things that they put time into.
Right.
And every story starts out like this: for the first few months, I suck. Whether it was stand-up comedy or Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whatever, for the first few months, I sucked.
Right. So just keep going. And look, here's what I want to say. You cannot make things so difficult for yourself that you quit. You can't throw yourself into the deep end of the pool, because it's easy to drown and you'll quit on it. I've said it. You have to have a kind of relationship with work and with working out and with jiu-jitsu or whatever chores around your house. You know, announce that you're going to go in and put 2 hours in cleaning the garage this weekend. And by the way, there won't be back to back. I'll do an hour at 10 a.m. and I'll do an hour 2 p.m. or whatever. But don't announce you're going to spend 11 hours cleaning the garage. You'll never clean the garage again. You'll quit halfway into it. You'll burn yourself out. You know, announce you're going to run for 20 minutes on the treadmill. Don't announce you're going to do a marathon on the treadmill unless you build up to it. You know, stop doing this thing where you go, I'm a white belt, I'm going to roll with a third degree black belt, you know, for 2 hours. Don't do it. You'll get discouraged. You'll quit. You'll get your ass handed to you. In a weird way, you're setting yourself up for failure, because you're almost giving yourself an out, you know. Find somebody who's a little better than you. Roll with that person. Don't go at it for 90 minutes. Go at it for 60 minutes. You know, just sort of approach it that way. There's a diet version of that. There's a career version.
There's a Vinny New Year's resolution exercise version of that, where he says his best advice for New Year's for New Year's resolution is start slow and slow down, because that's why you don't see anyone in the gyms in March. Well, not this year, because they're all fired.
Yeah, my rowing machine, I do a half hour on my rowing machine, but every once in a while, my shoulder will be a little sore, or I've had a busy day or something, and then I always think to myself, all right, well, no rowing tonight. And then I'll go, no, just go down there and hit the 20-minute button instead of the 30-minute button. And if you give yourself that little out, not that you can do it 3 nights in a row or even 3 times a week, but if there are days when you're just not up to it, or your back's a little sore, or you didn't get a good night's sleep, just hit the 20-minute button and do that. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. It's one of the things they really don't teach in high school. Remember how you thought when you were 23 versus what you see now? You know, you realize, and you take a look at the people around you who've made sort of bad decisions. You take a look at the people around you who've made good decisions, and you see, you kind of blink your eyes and 10 years has gone by and they're doing great. Right. Like they're just crushing it. Yes.
It's kind of like the fallacy of cramming for a test. It's like, I'm going to cram on Chris. Like, it's not going to work. Just pace it out over the course of a month. Do a little bit here, do a little bit there. Next thing you know, the thing's done.
Absolutely. All right. Last call, and then we'll do a couple unprepareds. Let's see. In line two. Hey, Sarah, 31, West LA.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
You're an immigrant from Serbia.
Yes, I must say I like your energy today. It's very positive and it's very encouraging despite the looting and craziness around us. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for listening and calling in. What's your question?
So I'm not from here, as you already mentioned that. So I have a problem finding a partner in LA, and it's been like very upsetting and frustrating on the fact that I'm very strong, and California boys are a little bit, I don't want to sound rude, but a little bit soft, or maybe I'm too judging, but it's just the fact that, why is it so hard to find a relationship here? Why everybody's so obsessed becoming a next Kim Kardashian and, I don't know, Jonas Brothers, whatever, and it's just very upsetting because I think millennials don't have these values of starting something and committing to that, and then most of them they just escape if you know things get a little rocky.
All right, well let's talk about this.
In LA,
yeah,
and I just want to know from your perspective, what do you think of that?
Well, Chris, maybe get Sonny and his friends out from under their beds, and they could comment on this. Okay, let's try it. Let's see what they let's hear their thoughts. I'm worried about it. I do not like the feminization of men. We look at it as an evolution. It is an evolution in many ways, but it's also hurting men. Now there's a whole generation. You know, my son is not allowed to play football at school with his buddies. They've just outlawed football. And they've outlawed football because there's a bunch of chicks and dudes who think like chicks who are in charge of whether they get to participate in the thing they want to participate in the most. And the answer is no. And they have like yoga classes, but they're not allowed to play football. So the chickens shall come home to roost. This has been going on long enough now that if you're looking for a guy who's in his early 30s, he's a product of this douche factory called schools and colleges and the general sort of gestalt of LA, California, and in general, the nation. So it's tough for tough chicks like you from Serbia who want to get it done to deal with a bunch of these young pussies. Like that, the pickings are going to be slim for gals like you. On the other hand, there's a growing group of guys who are bucking the trends and going into the octagon and starting their own jiu-jitsu fight clubs and after hours, and you might have to end up with one of those meatheads.
You think I should go for jiu-jitsu?
I do. I think if you go to, you know, you go to a Color Me Mine and you're going to get a puss. You go to a dojo, you might get a guy who you want to roll with.
As it pertains to finding the right kind of guy, why not go? I assume, Sarah, you've probably tried online dating or matchmaking or whatever site it is.
I can't do that. That is too, like, I'm talking to a robot. Like, I don't know, maybe that guy's a psychopath. I feel really awkward.
It's
I know
not
it's
an
American
game.
Way, but
at the
I'd
very
rather,
least,
you know,
Sarah,
sit down and talk. I'm sorry?
Well, yeah, those days are over right now anyway. But at the very least, because it took me a million years to find a partner that I plan on spending the rest of my life with. It took me a million years. Please know that this is not a you thing. As I think you do know, I just want to reiterate that it's not a, I don't think it's a you being from somewhere else thing. I don't think it's a you being flawed in any way thing. This is LA and it is nearly impossible. It takes a lot of digging.
When I go on a date, usually guys are talking about a keto diet and they talk about how they're going to get like.
They're going to what?
They're going to tan, like the tender skin, you know, like a spray. I don't know how you call it.
Oh, to tan.
Yeah.
To tan. I'm sorry, my English is not the best.
It's excellent.
It's amazing.
The thing is, the thing is that the fact that what I'm finding very more frustrating from the women who are telling me that I have to choose a career or a husband, it's also very humiliating. And also they put me in a position that I have to feel like a victim because I'm not from another country. Well, guess what? I live in America, and I think I should have a choice for myself. I don't like to be oppressed for that.
Hey, Sarah, hold on. Maybe we can get you set up. Describe yourself.
There you go.
Yeah, well,
quarantine's over.
We have listeners who are single, you know.
And how.
Live in the L.A. area. We can set you up. We'll do a little dating game maybe with you.
I love it.
Describe yourself for our listeners.
I'm 31 years old. I think I'm smart. I think I'm pretty. And I also think that I'm looking for something that is strong and meaningful. I am a student. I'm hardworking. I don't complain. And I just want to enjoy life. I want to go have a partner to enjoy.
Are you told you look like, anybody? Like people would say, well, what does Carolla look like? Like an old Greg Brady, for instance. Or Elliot Gould, if he let himself go.
Made some different choices.
is there someone describe you as?
I'm sorry?
Is there a celebrity
that people think you look like?
Celebrities? Oh, I like Monica Bellucci.
Ooh la la.
Ooh.
I don't know Monica Bellucci.
Do we know her? Adam, you know Monica Bellucci.
She's like the most prettiest woman in the world.
She's one of the most prettiest.
Oh.
She's in Passion of the Christ. She was in, The Matrix.
Everyone's sitting down, but I didn't see Passion of the Christ or The Matrix.
she's been in many movies.
Well, good. And you now, when people say you look like her, how close are you?
Well, let's say 5'4". I'm not super skinny. I'm like, how do you say, medium size of the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a brown eyes. And I have a pixie hair.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do for work?
I go to school. I'm a student, but I work in restaurants just to support myself to schooling, I guess.
Yeah.
What are you doing in school?
I'm taking right now general education for UCLA, probably. I don't know. Oh, I'm nice. Not sure yet.
All right. Well, Sarah.
Speaking of two languages fluently,
probably
so you
law.
Obviously are pretty
I'm
smart.
Speaking about law, at least more or less.
Sarah, can we put you on hold and get your info, and we'll see maybe if we can, in subsequent days, get a little dating game going with you and rustle you up a partner?
Thank you so much. I really hope I didn't sound like some angry woman.
No.
You didn't sound like me.
The woman knows what she wants.
I don't. I'm trying to think because I feel like a lot of women are attracted to a more feminine guy these days. Like, that this thing that could be considered a negative is considered a positive to certain women. Although, I don't know. I wonder if, you know, women are working more. They're more independent. The income part, the protection part, like all the sort of things in the past that you're looking for from a guy you don't really need anymore. I don't know. Gina, you have any thoughts?
I'm thinking about a lot of things right now, and I'm kind of going through my circle of, 10, 12 girlfriends and who they're married to and who they're dating, and it runs the gamut. And I'm kind of just trying to go through an algorithm in my head what any of the standout patterns are. I know I have a very dear friend who is with just this beefy, big dude, and she's kind of a ball buster and she's very independent. But at the end of the day, she doesn't want to be the dude. She wants a guy that's even more powerful and stronger to sort of protect her. I have friends that are with very intellectual guys that are not that way at all. And I'm just trying to come up with some sort of pattern in my head, but I'm not seeing one.
I wonder if we need less from our partners now because of all the distractions there are out there, and how much you could sort of go into your own world a little bit. Like, her favorite show is Ozark, And my favorite show is Jay Leno's Garage. And okay, you go over there and watch your show, and I'll go over there, and then we'll order some food.
Yeah.
We'll take out one of our earbuds so we can have sort of a conversation. And then, like, maybe there's more, so much distraction. And also,
I think that's a good point.
Also, we're not counting on one another in that the guy would have to go thatch the roof, like go fix the roof, go fix the car. You know, I need this person to go fix this thing. And then the woman, I need you to go fix me a meal after I'm done fixing the car, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's all kind of Grubhub and electric cars that no one ever pops the hood on anymore. Like, maybe we're not counting on each. And then you start getting into you porn, and it,
you really don't need anybody else.
So
I think that's an excellent point. It's funny that you said that just about thatching the roof, because, you know, I think that in my relationship, things are pretty balanced. I mean, I work until 11:30 at night. I come home. There's always dinner ready. But I tried the drain auger snake last night. Not my lane. So he has to go and man up and go deal with that with the shower. And, you know, it's just you're right. We don't depend on each other as much, but I'm so glad I have someone in my life who is kind of that equalizer. There's always something waiting for me at home, you know, when I get home, you know, at almost midnight. But big guy's got to go deal with the drainage mm-hmm. system and the piping. I can't do it.
My new world order is, and hopefully we can evolve enough to get to this point, which is your fiance would be considered a pariah if his hard-working lady came home at 11:30 and he was just watching TV and beating off every night instead of having a meal out ready. I would argue...
He works all day.
I'd be brazen.
I would argue that if you reverse those situations, that if it's the man out working till 11:30, he's not way out of bounds for asking for the same thing that you're getting this way. Sorry.
I'd be so disappointed.
Brian, would you like to... Were you going to chime in?
There's no research to back this up, but just tell me what you think about this very half-baked theory that I literally just came up with. The young people, not Gina's friends, the young people who are entering the...
What's that supposed to mean?
not a comment on the what you were saying, but the young people who are entering the dating scene these days, these are by and large the children of Gen Xers. And that was a very emo generation. And Adam, from my years listening to Loveline, years on Loveline, you know that women have a tendency to seek out either versions of their dad, or if their dad was an a-hole, like a-holes, you know, like versions of their dad, basically. And if this is a generation raised by emo, that's so broad.
Laid
you know what I'm saying? A Nirvana generation, especially Pumpkins generation. This is the whole generation defined by this sort of emo ethos. Maybe that has a little bit to do with the move towards the male to the feminine. I don't know.
Well, it's a good theory. I used to say on Loveline 25 years ago that it was essentially, you could say we were an X, and at the bottom of the X 70 years ago in the 50s, at the bottom of the X was men on the right and women on the left. And as we got from the, you know, 60s, the 70s and the 80s, you know, men's hair got longer, women's hair got shorter, men, you know, more women smoked cigars and started getting tattoos and getting into the UFC. And we started kind of going, and we're getting to the point where we're kind of crossing, or at least meeting in the middle of the X as we go up. Like, you could put the dates, you know, 2000, we're in the middle of the X, you know, or not the middle of the X, but the middle of the bottom,
right,
where we're separated. At some point, we're going to cross, and we're getting to a crossing point. And the crossing point sort of means, well, we're the same. Like, you cook or I'll cook, or you work or I'll work, or we'll both work, or we'll both cook, or we'll both parent, we'll both everything. And the roles aren't as clearly defined. Yes. And
the gender roles are clearly becoming a lot more blurrier as we just go from decade to decade.
And now we're getting into this murky area of, well, we could have two of me, or we could have two of you, or maybe even just one of me and one of you. Like, we don't really need us as much anymore, because we're more interchangeable, and society doesn't need it. We don't need those two roles as clearly as defined as they were. And I don't know what that means. I think it's going to mean more people just kind of going through life sort of on their own, just kind of doing what they want to do, have their friends, have their phone, have their groups and all that. All right. So Delray Lindo is late, right?
Yeah.
He's going to call in, or we're going to theoretically get him in.
Like 2:30.
All right. So we could do the news.
We could do news, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't we do that? Let me hit LifeLock and then we'll do that. Coronavirus sparked an increase in cybercrime complaints to the FBI. They're getting into domain names. They're scamming folks with promised government checks and fake COVID charities. These people are bad. They're there to steal your identity. Look, it's dangerous out there in the streets. No one wants to get bit by a dog or cut by broken glass. So they sit home and they hack in to your life with the computer. You need to protect yourself. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. You're home, you're on the computer, you are buying food, you're buying stuff on Amazon, but your information is out there and you need to protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number on the dark web. If they detect your info has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert and you'll have a dedicated restoration specialist for your case. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off for your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, take a quick break. We'll come back with the news, Gene and Bald, right after this.